Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
The Bible contains remarkable stories of miracles and divine interventions. Moses parted the sea. Peter healed a man lame from his mother's womb. Jesus drove demons out of people and raised others from the dead. But are these types of events still happening today?
We too have a beam of divine light and guidance that God has put within the heart of every man. And it's one of the greatest proofs that there is a God.
More amazing supernatural things are happening than we realize.
This is Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Divine Intervention was created and produced with the purpose of encouraging believers, spiritual seekers, and skeptics alike that Jesus is alive and is still performing miracles and working in the world today.
I believe in miracles.
Here's your host, Daniel Fazina.
Hello, friends. Yes, I am Daniel Fazina, your host, and it is a pleasure and an honor to be with you today. How are you doing today, friend? I hope this day finds you absolutely blessed beyond belief and just knowing that the Lord is real and he's working in the world today and that he loves you so much. And you know, friend, that's the reason why I do this radio show. I want to encourage believers to know that God is real and that he loves them, and I want to challenge skeptics. You know, the Bible says in Revelation that the saints overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we focus a lot on testimonies here on Divine Intervention Radio. And today is going to be a really powerful testimony. I have a dear friend of mine who has a very powerful testimony and a very unique calling as an intercessor and someone who really has a passion for Israel and the Jewish people. We'll get to her in a minute, but first I want to remind you that you can check out all the archives of Divine Intervention Radio on my newly released and redesigned website, DivineInterventionRadio.com. If you get a chance, please do check it out. Let me know what you think of the new design. I think it's streamlined. It looks very professional. You can let me know your thoughts at DivineIntervention@mail.com, DivineIntervention@mail.com. As always, you can find me on Facebook, Facebook.com/DivineInterventionRadio. And I have also joined Twitter. Yes, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com. The handle is at DanielFazina1. That's Daniel Fazina, the number one, on twitter.com. So many exciting things going on. My new book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is being released by Charisma House Publishers on August 5th, 2014. I'm very excited about that. This book is very powerful. There's 50 true stories in it, obviously, from the title. You kind of got that idea. The stories are shorter than my previous books, and there are more of them, but it's a lot tighter. The stories are very powerful, and I think it's going to be even more powerful than my previous two books because not only does each entry have the contact information of the person listed so people can follow up with them via email if they have any questions or want to dig deeper into their stories, but it also contains photographs and medical documentation when we're talking about healings and, you know, miracles that have to do with medical conditions and things like that. So you're going to be able to see actual x-rays. You're going to be able to see PET scans. You're going to be able to read doctor's reports if you're interested. Things like doctor's reports saying there was a brain tumor and then it was gone, that kind of thing. I really felt this was important because I want people to understand that these are not just stories that I'm making up or that the people are making up, but they have actual medical documentation behind them. The more we can do to add credibility to the reality of God and that he's still working in the world and doing miracles, I think the better it'll be to win people's hearts and minds. You know, that's what I try to do here on Divine Intervention Radio. I want to point people to Jesus and, get them to consider that he's real and give their lives to him, ultimately, have a relationship with the Lord and salvation. So I don't really feature miracles for the miracle's sake, per se, but really to point people to the God of miracles. And, you know, that's why I do this show. Testimonies are a great way to open people's hearts and minds because, let's face it, everybody loves a good story. And if it's miraculous and it's true and it points to Jesus, that's even better. You know, I've heard it said, for the true believer, no evidence is necessary. But for the true skeptic, no amount of evidence would be sufficient. And I believe that's true to a large extent. But for the people who are on the fence, who are just open, they're not sure about God and miracles, but they're truly seeking. They're investigating. The fact that I'm including medical documentation and supporting evidence in my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, I think it's going to be a huge factor in helping maybe push them over the edge to the side of faith or the side of investigating God, at least being more open to it and being able to be persuaded, per se, to look into Jesus and his claims. So that's the reason why I'm very excited about this book. It's different in that respect because it does contain medical documentation. So hopefully it'll win some hearts and minds. It's going to be an awesome encouragement to you and also a great evangelism tool. I highly encourage you, pick up a copy and then get one for your friend, maybe who's a skeptic or just not really sure about God. Hey, say, hey, this is what God is doing today in the lives of these ordinary people. There are stories in there about miraculous healings, like I said, from quote-unquote incurable diseases, brain tumors, cancers, I mean, you name it. It's got quite a few things in there. It's got a lot of near-death experiences. People have been shot in the head, shot multiple times, drug overdoses, Jesus setting people free from addictions, and all sorts of things in there. God works in so many different ways, and I'm just so excited about this book. I think it's really going to impact a lot of people, and my hope is that it draws a lot of people to himself, and it's going to encourage your faith as well. So look for it, August 5th, 2014. You'll be able to get a copy then. And again, the title is Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, coming out by Charisma House Publishers. And I always look forward to your feedback when you do read it. I want to know what you think. So again, my contact information, divineintervention@mail.com. Daniel Fazina 1 on Twitter and facebook.com/divineinterventionradio. All right, friend, as promised, another exciting testimony. I'm about to introduce a very good friend of mine who's also in my new book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. Her name is Liz Alberti, and she's been walking with the Lord over 40 years. What an amazing testimony she has of how the Lord got a hold of her, delivered her, carried through many different things from, you know, being involved with the mafia, to people who are involved with Satanism, to being called as an intercessor and a prayer warrior for the nation of Israel, even being called to Israel, serving over there as a missionary for many years, and also even serving in the Israeli army during the Gulf War, if you can believe that. She's got an amazing, amazing testimony and one of the most on-fire people for Jesus I have met. Please join me in welcoming Liz Alberti right now on Divine Intervention Radio. Liz, welcome to Divine Intervention Radio. It is such an honor and a privilege to have you. I'm very excited today.
I'm very excited to be with you, Daniel. Bless God for this. I pray that God would use it to his glory.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Now, you and I have kind of a long history going back, working together in the television industry for a bit. And when I met you and we connected, it was kind of like we were kind of kindred spirits. You are one of the most awesome and on fire believers I have ever met. And I've met a lot of people, so that's saying a lot. Why don't you take us to the beginning a little bit? Tell us about your background and maybe about your life growing up and a little bit about your spiritual background. Who is Liz Alberti?
Oh, Liz Alberti is very complicated, but I'm going to try to unravel myself a little bit to the public.
Okay.
I was raised in Brooklyn. The area that I was raised in was called East New York, Brooklyn, in an Italian family, not a religious family. But by the time I was 13, 14, I kind of felt that there was more to life than just getting up in the morning and doing the things that people do. There was something that I felt was missing. There was, I couldn't get my hand around it. So I kind of, like, as I grew up, I was a very, very curious and had to have information. I loved information. And by the time I was 21, I had two children. I had a beautiful son and a beautiful daughter. And
Now, growing up, you actually wanted to be a nun at one point, isn't that right?
That's right. And when I was about 13, 14, I kind of felt I wanted out of this physical world. And I being a Catholic, even though we weren't practicing, I figured, well, I'll become a nun, you know, that take care of that situation. Because there was something more. There was something more that I was kind of aware of. So okay. I had told my parents, and they kind of, like, you know, disregarded it. And of course, it after a while, nobody talked about it anymore. But as I went on, I got married very young and had two children by the time I was 21.
Okay.
Well, by the time I was 27, let me just give you a background. My husband comes from a family of 13 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
9 boys and 4 girls.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents' house was in East New York on a place called Linden Boulevard.
Right. I know where that is. I've been there.
And yeah. And I was there one day, and two of his sisters were there. And they were talking about one of their brothers moving back, because I had not known quite a few of them. They were scattered all over the country.
Okay.
And he was moving back from Buffalo and with his wife and their 6 children. And they said, but she's crazy.
Who's crazy?
She's crazy? Why is she crazy? And they said, well, she's Jewish and she believes in Jesus. And I just didn't think that was so crazy. I remember it was like, and they said, but she doesn't believe in the cemetery. And I said, well, I don't believe that's where the person is either. It's like, no big deal. But anyhow, that's all I had known about this Joan and my brother-in-law, Richie.
So Joan is your sister-in-law?
Yes.
Okay.
So I finally met her at one of my brother-in-law's houses out in Hop Hog. And you have to understand something. When we got together, we were a tribe because we were so many. And who had 6 kids, who had 3. There was always a full house.
Right.
And I met her. And she was beautiful. She had the most beautiful blue eyes and just beautiful. And she came over to me and we introduced ourselves. And she said to me, I want to pray with you. And I went, excuse me? Like, what did you say? What did you just say? You want to pray with me? That was like the craziest thing I ever heard.
This is like one of the first conversations you ever had
with
her?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I looked at her and I was like, wow, she really is crazy. Yeah, I never heard. Let's go outside and pray. And I was like, no, I don't think so. So again, months went by and my husband was going away and we went to say goodbye to them. And here we're in their beautiful home in Dix Hills, Huntington, and we're sitting at the kitchen table, kids running all over, my 2, her 6, and all the other, you know, whoever was there that day. My one sister-in-law and myself were sitting at the kitchen table. We were talking about the Ouija board, and she was at the other end. And
who was at the other end?
The other, and my sister-in-law, Joan,
okay.
Abel's, the kitchen table, and her mouth was moving. And I said, looked at her, and I said, well, what are you doing? And she said to me, I'm praying for you.
Mm.
She said, I see the devil dealing with you.
Wow.
She said, I want to pray with you. I said, Joan, the whole house is full of people. She said, there's a downstairs bathroom. We can go in there. And we went into this little downstairs bathroom. I'm going to read right from the book that the little bit that I wrote about this event because it's more powerful than I can put into any new words. So she said there's a downstairs bathroom. So we went into this little bathroom to pray. And I have to tell you, I didn't say a prayer. I just called on the name of Jesus. At that moment, I felt like I left the earth. I went into another dimension with him. I could hear my sister-in-law. I didn't know what she was doing, but I heard her saying something, which I later learned was praying in tongues. She was praying alongside me, and I started to shake violently. It was as if I was in the grip of something so powerful and loving that my body could not sustain itself in this presence of pure love, engulfed in him. I felt this overwhelming sense of falling into a deep love. I met Jesus for the first time, and I fell madly in love with him. And I have to tell you, 43 years later, I am still madly in love with him, emotionally in love with him.
That is
he
awesome.
He has given me, I don't know what it is, it's a desire to know him more and more every day.
That is
anyhow,
radical.
We were in there.
I just want to take a pause here and let everyone know. That excerpt she just read is from Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volume 1. That was my first book that was published in 2007. And incidentally, Liz's testimony is going to be featured in my next book as well, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, coming out August 5th, 2014, by Charisma House Publishers. Very excited about that. So, Liz, you were kind of a non-practicing Catholic, and then this Jewish woman prays for you,
right?
You know, praying in tongues, believing in Jesus,
right?
And you experienced him. Did you have like a vision of the Lord?
No.
No, okay.
No, it was a sense that was so powerful that I could hear her. I knew I was sitting, but I was in a different place.
Mm.
I was in his presence. And
you were radically changed after that, weren't you?
Well, what happened was we were in there for 2 hours, which we didn't realize it. And the next thing you know, my husband was banging on the door. What's going on in there? And as I walked out, he kind of backed up. And I knew I had gone through a transformation. I didn't understand it. I didn't have a church background. I really didn't have too much of anything to hold on to. This is all new territory. This is a new journey.
Okay.
And my sister-in-law, who belonged to one of the first Messianic congregations in Long Island in Stony Brook, she said, come tomorrow and give your testimony of what just happened. She said, you went through a deliverance.
Mm.
And I know I went through that. That was that violent, that shaking. And I felt like I was cold, but I wasn't cold. It's very hard to explain.
Okay.
But going forward, she had told me before I left her house, going back to Brooklyn, it was a Sunday night, she said, get everything in your house pertaining to Satan out. She says, and go into every room in your house and anoint it, and even the bathroom. And I knew what she was saying was right. There was no questioning. I said, okay, well, anyhow, we went home, put my kids to sleep. The next day, I couldn't get out of bed. There was such a presence of evil.
Now, did you know what she was talking about when she said Satan? I mean, you're talking about Ouija boards and what other
Ouija
stuff?
Ouija boards I knew because I had played that.
Okay.
I had dabbled a little bit in Ouija boards, astral projection, marijuana of the day, so I had a little sense of that kind of, you know, the realm that... Anyhow, I didn't want to get out of bed. The atmosphere was so different in my home, and I had forgotten what she had said the night before, so the phone rings, and it's her. And I said, something's very wrong. She said, put the phone down, go into every room, get everything in your house pertaining to Satan out. And I heard her again. Whoop, she's speaking in tongues again. There's that thing. And I put the phone down. I said, whoa, okay, woo. And I went into every room, and I got books out and the Ouija board and just everything out. And the Lord said to me very clearly, I don't want you reading commentaries about me, nothing. I want you to read the Bible, only the Bible.
Okay.
The Lord put me into a congregation at that time. There were no Messianic congregations, but I was in a congregation that the pastor and his wife had a vision for Israel, which was amazing. This is a Lutheran church in Canarsie, Brooklyn. And one night, I was praying, and I was just loving him. And loving him, and I was trying to tell him how much I loved him, and the gift of tongues came. Not a lot, just a few words, and it kind of like, whoa, scared me. But I now knew what it was, because I spoke to my pastor about it, and he knew what it was. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, pray for the return of Judah. And I went, who? Who's Judah? Where does he live? I don't know him. I know Franks and Tonys and Aunt. I don't know a Judah. Who am I praying for? And he said to me, you are going to minister to my people, but you first have to become my people. And you're going to be isolated and you're going to be misunderstood. But I'm going to train you. And from that moment on, he gave me a heart for his beloved people and his beloved land.
Mm.
And he made me very sensitive to the things that hurt them.
And you, for anyone who's not familiar, you're talking about Israel and the Jews, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I had a cross on the wall that my son had made me in woodcraft. Lord said, take it off, take it off. I had a little Jewish star with a cross in it. And my first teacher who came up to this little Lutheran church was one of the greatest teachers ever, John Fisher. He's a Messianic teacher, brilliant, brilliant teacher. And I went over to him, and he was doing a seminar. And I said, John, this little Jewish Star Wars. He goes, put it away. It's offensive to my people. And I went, okay.
Not the Jewish star, but the cross, right?
Yeah, and that's offensive to them.
Hmm.
And like I said, people were all going one way, and God was putting me a whole other way. And people didn't know what was going on with me. Now I started to do Shabbos. I started to do the Shabbat meal on Friday nights. And I had Jewish friends, and they would come, and I would prepare the table the night before, and I'd do all the cooking. And I got a Jewish almanac on how to, just things about Judaism, and it was amazing what was going on. But as we fast forward, one thing I just want to say to everybody listening out there, God loves you so much.
Mm.
Don't ever forget that. And he is more interested in getting you where you have to be than where you think you need to be. And a lot of times, I've been in places where I didn't know why I was in this particular place, and it's because God was connecting the dots.
Right.
There's times you can't do it. Just stand still and know the salvation of the Lord.
Mm. Amen. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are visiting with our special guest, Liz Alberti, and she's sharing with us how the Lord took this Italian firecracker from Brooklyn and transformed her into a passionate minister and just a lover of people, and particularly the Jewish people in Israel. She is the most passionate person I know when it comes to the subject of Israel, even among Jews. She's not even Jewish. She's a goy, as they like to say. But God has really done an amazing work with her and given her so much training and knowledge and wisdom in that area, a lot of insight as well. So Liz, we just got like two more minutes, but why don't you share with us a little bit about, your journey and just learning about Israel and the Jewish people before the break.
Okay. Like I said, that one night when he said, pray for the return of Judah, that was the beginning. My love for Israel, it's not a romantic love or even a political love. It's a love for Israel according to God's love. A lot of times we pray and we want to know what is in God's heart. Well, the thing that is in God's heart is us as non-Jews. It says that the nations will bring back the Jews to the land.
Right.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. Nations translates people, okay? And we as the non-Jews are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It says in Genesis 3:12 that God will bless you or curse you. I believe, Daniel, that the dividing question that will bring the church into the coming of the Lord is where they stand with Israel.
Mm. A crucial point.
I have spoken to so many people. I've spoken to doctors. My doctors are all Jewish, and they'll tell me, Liz, close the door. I want to talk to you. How do you know this stuff? You're not even Jewish. And I explain to them that they're not safe in this country anymore.
Mm.
And they know it. They have a sense that they're not safe here, but they don't know what to do.
Come back to this right after the break. But again, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio, and we're visiting with Liz Alberti. And coming up after the break, I want to hear, Liz, how the Lord actually called you and made a way for you to go to Israel and stay there for so long as a non-Jew. It's really miraculous, the doors he opened for you. So we'll get that story coming up. Stay with us here on Divine Intervention Radio. Once again, I'm your host, Daniel Fazina.
We'll be right back with more from Daniel Fazina and Divine Intervention right after this.
I believe in miracles.
Thanks for listening to Divine Intervention. More information, free downloads, and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com. Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above and with some power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above and with some power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Welcome back to Divine Intervention Radio, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are visiting with our special guest, Liz Alberti, who is a very intriguing person who God has done some amazing works in and really showed himself real in her life. Liz, welcome back.
Thank you, Daniel. It's good to be with you again.
Not a problem. So, Liz, before the break, you were telling us how the Lord got a hold of you and gave you a heart for Israel. Now I want you to share with us how he developed you into an intercessor and how he led you miraculously to the land of Israel from Brooklyn, of all places.
Well, at one point, I went up to Bible school in Keene, New Hampshire. It was called the Shalom Fellowship. And I worked my tuition off by being secretary to the president of the Bible school.
All right.
But while I was there, it was 50 acres, it was beautiful, and you were in little log cabins, you had to make your own fire, there was no thermostat, I was looking for it when I first got the thermostat. Well, there is none.
A little different than Brooklyn, but, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'll make a long story short, because I know we're strapped for time. The Lord started to develop me as an intercessor. And
now, what is an intercessor?
An intercessor is someone who goes before the Lord and gets the Lord's understanding of what to pray for. Okay, there's prayers of petition where people pray for something, and, you know, they put prayers before the altar. Well, this is different. This is not according to what people want. This is according to what God wants.
Okay.
And it's a ministry that I didn't choose for myself. I don't think I would have chosen it for myself, but God chose it for me. And this is who I am.
Okay.
And so in 1982, I was in Bible school, and he gave me the gift of discerning of spirits, which was very frightening to me because I didn't understand it, and I would go around to people and say, did you see this? Did you see that? And they'd go, I don't know what you're talking about. And then God gave me clarity on it one day. He said, you only have it for one reason, and that's to pray. He said, what you're seeing and understanding in your spirit is happening in the spirit realm. It's not in the physical realm.
So you're actually seeing the manifestation of spirit?
No, it's not a seeing again. It's a sense that the spirit is quickening you to pray for something. What I've learned with myself over the years, these 43 years, is God has dropped me into situations like an assignment.
Okay.
And said, this is where you're going to be. And usually I don't know what I'm going in for until I'm in.
Right.
Because probably if I knew, I wouldn't go.
Isn't that just like God?
They've been very heavy, yeah. And they've been very testing and trying, but God has pulled me through every one of the assignments, and I never, ever quit until he says, you're free to go.
Mm.
And awesome. That's something that the church has to learn, that we are soldiers of the cross. You know, like it says in Timothy 2:4, it says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs, because he wants to please his commanding officer. We have to have a mentality of an army. But anyhow, going forward, after Bible school, I didn't know where I was going, what I was doing. And my brother-in-law had told me of a job opening up in Flemington, New Jersey. Well, I went, I got interviewed. The Lord showed me I was going to live there and I was going to get the job, which I did. And he said, when I went up to the apartment where I was living, right over the office, he said, you're not going to be here that long. Just get your necessities. I went, whoa, I just got here. Well, anyhow, through living in Flemington, New Jersey, I had made contact with a friend. Well, she became my friend. And she was going up to Messiah College for a conference once a year. The Jewish people have a conference, the Messianic beliefs from all over the world.
Okay.
She met a man from Israel who needed a secretary. And I have to back up a little bit. Before that, I was at my sister's house during the summer.
Okay.
And it was August 26, 1983. And the Lord had spoken to me very clearly. I was praying and I was reading the word. And he said to me, get ready, you're going to Israel. And I couldn't wrap my emotions around it. I was laughing, I was dancing, I was singing. Well, I started to prepare. I got my passport, I started to sell things. Meanwhile, I had nothing in the physical yet. Well, anyhow, going forward.
So you're preparing to go to Israel, but you didn't know how.
Yeah, and everybody was watching me, and my family was like, oh my God, she's really flipped out. And this is it, boy. And people would say, like, well, when are you going? I don't know. Well, who are you going with? I don't know. But I'm going.
Mm.
So I didn't have a passport, got a passport. I did everything that I could do. And we went out to meet this leader from Israel speaking in Stony Brook, Long Island. I explained who I was, and he said, send me a resume about yourself and a little bit of how you became a believer, which I did to his office. And we prayed, him and I. And 3 months later, Bible school called me and said, Liz, you just got a call from the Middle East. I said, Middle East, Israel? And they said, yeah, they wanted to know about you. And if they start training you, will you be solid in the land or will you, you know, come back and want to, you know, come back to the States? And they said, no, this woman, whatever she does, she puts her head to it and she goes for it.
Mm.
So they said, here's the number. I called them in Israel. They said, we want you to come over. Well, December of 1983, I was in Israel.
Now, how long had you lived in New Jersey?
8 months.
8 months, wow.
I was only going to be there for a short time. And I sold everything that I had in the apartment. Anyhow, when I got to Israel, I was home.
Mm.
Here I was. I had never been out of New York. And I want to say something. When God calls you and gives you something that powerful, you don't ask questions. I never asked once, how am I going to live? How am I going to make money? I don't know the language. There was nothing, no questions. And when I got to Israel, we were all sitting around, the leaders and the family, and I said, I want to take a Hebrew name. And they were saying this name and that name. And then finally, the leader said, your name in Hebrew is beautiful. It's Elisheva. And I said, that's it. That's what I want to be called.
Elisheva. And what does that mean?
Well, see, here's the interesting thing. It means vowed to God.
Hmm. I love it.
And it's an amazing, you know, names in Hebrew, every name means something. They're very powerful names. And the first thing they did was they put me into the Ulpan, which is where you learn Hebrew. And I went 6 days a week from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock every day. I had 2 hours homework, and then I went to the ministry house. And at that point, there was a lot of situations going on that wouldn't glorify God if I went into them.
No, but...
But the point is, I had a stroke.
Wow.
And I was in the meeting one night, and I was taking the notes. And the next thing I knew, I was in my friend's van, and they were talking to me, and it seemed like they were talking very, very slow. And I had a sense of confusion. And they said, we're going to go back to your apartment and pack a bag, and you're going to come back with us to our apartment. And I said, I don't know how to pack a bag. And they were like, whoa, they were saying to themselves. They told me later, she don't know how to pack a bag. She went 9,000 miles. Something really wrong.
Wow.
So anyhow, we went back to their apartment, and they asked me if I wanted to go to the emergency room. And I said, no, God's going to heal me. And one of their daughters had come to the States for college, so I had her room. And here I was, my hands didn't work, I couldn't brush my teeth, I couldn't comb my hair, and my speech was very, very slow. And here I was in this bed, and they would leave me food, and they'd go to work, and they'd say, if you need us, call us. And I have to tell you, this is where God taught me the most important thing in my life, that the Word of God is medication to your body.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I would lay in bed, and because I really couldn't focus on a book, the Bible, he said, repeat the 23rd Psalm. And when I got to the point where it said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And at that point, I said, Lord, if this is death, if I'm close, I take it. It was glorious, I have to tell you.
Hmm.
I was so peaceful. And the elders of the congregation came and they anointed me with oil. And they again said, if you want to go to the emergent, we'll take you. And I said, no, I said, God's going to heal me. And every day when they walked out the door, my friends, and I would just wait for the Lord to come. It was like a doctor visiting me. And I would ask him questions. And I'd say, Lord, what does it mean when you said that in the Bible? And he'd say, well, this is, oh, okay. And I would do the 23rd, and I ruminated upon it, and allowed it to become part of my body. And
now, as you did this, and you repeated it, and you eventually, your hands and everything started coming back, your strength started coming back, how long did it take?
A year.
It took a year. Okay, a whole year.
It took, well, I was, at that point, before I got sick, I was a five-mile runner.
Okay.
So I was in pretty good, you know, the eating there, and I had nothing wrong with me. And the first day, I remember I went out on Sokoloff in Vermont, Husharon, and I couldn't walk a block. And I was out of breath, and I was like, wow, I can't even walk. And then the next day, I walked that block, and I walked another block. And then the next day, I walked, and then I did a slow jog. And meanwhile, you know, I wanted to go back home, but I didn't want my family. I didn't let anybody know I was like that.
Mm.
And then when I did go back, my speech was still slow, but it was clear. My hands were okay. My coordination, my running, I was back.
So you basically recovered from a stroke fully with no medical intervention at all, just God's word?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
God is awesome.
That's the whole thing. Now, I have nothing against the medical profession.
Right.
Go to your doctors, you take your medications. This was something, you know, there are sicknesses that are on to death, and there are sicknesses that are on to life.
Mm.
Okay? My ex-daughter-in-law had fourth-stage breast cancer, and through that, she became a believer. I led her to the Lord before she went in for surgery.
Mm.
She had inquired about the Lord and how do you become a believer about 6 months before she had this horrific thing happen to her. And as we prayed for her, I had intercessors in my house for her at that point. And I knew that this was a sickness unto life.
Mm.
That's why sometimes when people are sick, don't be so quick to run in and just pray for healing. See what the Holy Spirit is saying. God uses all things. There are situations where people can get into hospitals through sicknesses and witness to doctors and nurses that maybe you and I can't get in there.
That's right.
So we don't know. We don't know what God is doing all the time. We have to know one thing, brothers and sisters. He loves us so much.
Amen.
Oh, my God. There's so much love. You know, it says in the Old Testament, he makes a covenant of love with us. The covenant of love is the marriage. We're married to the Lord. And in 1988, my husband, who already had divorced me, died. He was 44 years old. And I went back to Israel, and I asked the Lord if I could pray for a husband. The covenant was broken. I believe till death do you part.
Right.
And he was gone, and the Lord said, if you want to be married, I will bless you. But my high calling is you stay unto me for the rest of your life.
Mm.
And I was 43 years old. And I cried and I cried. And I said, Lord, you know I'm going to choose you. I love you.
Mm.
And I have never regretted. I love him.
Amen.
It says in Hosea 2 that he is no longer Lord. He is Ishi in Hebrew, it says. I am your husband. I will provide for you. I will take care of you.
So your name, Elisheva, is quite fitting.
Exactly.
Vowed to God. I love that.
And the thing that's so interesting, my family really flipped out when they heard I was not going to ever marry again at 43. And they said, but you're alone, you live alone, you sleep alone, you eat alone. And I said, I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. When God calls you to some way of life, he gives you the power and the love to live that way of life.
Right.
I have never owned a home in my life. I have never had a place to really settle my feet. I've been moving my entire life.
Kind of like Jesus.
Day. Yeah. Like the, until the day he takes me home.
Right.
And I wouldn't give it up. And because I'm an intercessor, I have to be available for people. And when you're married, your concern is your husband and your family. I don't have that concern. My children are grown. I have four grandchildren, beautiful grandchildren. And I can be available for people.
Right.
And I can be available for prayer.
That is awesome.
And that's where God has me today.
Okay. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. Again, I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. We're visiting with our special guest, Liz Alberti, who is an awesome intercessor and a lover of people and a lover of Israel. And Liz, I want to go back to, you know, going to Israel. You experienced some pretty amazing things over there. But one of the things I want to touch on is your visa situation, because when you originally went, you had a B visa, which, from my understanding, allows you to stay only 90 days. And how long did you actually stay in Israel?
You know, God is amazing. If you're a non-Jew, you can stay 90 days on a B visa. And the people that I was with said, don't worry about it. You know, if you have a problem with your visa, we'll send you over to Cyprus. There's plenty of believers there. You come back in, your visa starts all over. Okay. Well, I had a problem immediately. My visa after 3 months. They're not too happy when non-Jews come into the country.
Okay.
And but you know what? God is above everything. But as long as you stay within the parameter of the laws of the land, which I did, God kept me there for 9 years.
9 years.
9 years. And as long as I was going to school, I was studying Hebrew, and then the big thing was in 1991 when the Gulf War broke out, the first one, I joined the Israeli army. I went down to Yaffa, and because I spoke Hebrew, you know, they said, well, okay, what do you want to do? I said, anything. I want to help. Wherever you want to put me. So they put me on an army base, a medical army base near Tel HaShomer in Tel Aviv, and I packed medical drugs from morning till night, and you know, people on the army base knew that I wasn't Jewish, and they were, the lieutenant colonel, his name was Yucky, and he said to me, he said, Elisheva, he said, you warmed my heart, you didn't leave us. Mm. He said, the Jews are leaving and you're staying. And I said, I wouldn't leave you. I never thought to.
Mm.
Anyhow, he had heard on the base that I was having a problem with my visa, and he came over to me one day, he said, you want to stay with us, Elisheva? I said, yes. He said, okay. The next day I went into the Mizrad HaPanim, which is the Ministry of Interior, and the guy pulled my chair out and asked me if I wanted a cup of coffee. I was like, whoa. And he stamped my visa for 2 years. That's unheard of.
Wow.
And I went running back, and I ran onto the army base, and everybody was like, what happened to Ellie Shaver? What's the matter with her? She hit the lottery? And they said, no, she got her visa renewed for 2 years. And she's happy? Yes. And so God takes you through everything. And then in 1992, he closed the door.
Mm.
I went down to Petah. I was living in Ariel, which is 25 miles from Jordan. It's over, I don't even like to say it, but it's over the Green Line or the occupied territory, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
That's our Israel's land. And I went down to renew it, and the woman was very suspicious of me. My passport, I had to put extra pages in there because there wasn't enough room. And she was like, what are you doing here? And I told her I was living with my friends in Ariel. And, you know, and she was very suspicious, and she said a word that was frightening. It's miad. In Hebrew, miad means this second you leave. You leave now, right now.
Now, Elisheva, you were living in Israel, and this entire 9 years, you had no income, you never worked for money, and God provided for you?
And see, that's the, I'm glad you brought that up. I lived by faith for 9 years. Faith. And what that meant was, first of all, the ministry that I was with, we became the biggest congregation in Israel at that time. We were like 9 people when I got there. It went up to 150. And it was, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, the teachings and everything that God was doing with us was unbelievable. And what they did, and I never even said anything, they recognized me as an intercessor. So my job basically, after a very short time in the office, was by Elisheva, I would go downstairs and I would pray for 3 hours.
Mm.
That was part of my job. We would pray as a staff in the morning, and then I would go down in the basement and I would pray for 3 hours. And they put a box in the meeting room, and the box was for me. It was called the Pushka. And people would put money in and checks, and it took care of all of my needs, my food. I didn't have a car or anything. I didn't want anything like that. And I lived with a woman from Russia in the middle of Ramat HaSharon, and she had an apartment, and I rented out a room with a little bathroom. And she knew I wasn't Jewish, and we'd go to synagogue on Friday night, and she taught me everything I knew about kosher, how to keep a kosher kitchen. And she said to me, "You keep a better kosher kitchen than the Jews keep." She was amazing. I loved her.
Wow.
She loved me.
That is awesome. Now, Elisheva, we just got a couple of minutes left, maybe like 4 minutes, but I do want to talk about a pretty amazing miracle or divine intervention that happened to you regarding angels while you were in Israel. Tell us that story. That was really amazing.
Well, this was the story that hooked Daniel years ago. I was in Gilo. Gilo is a beautiful, beautiful place outside of Jerusalem. And it's up on a mountain, and when you look down, well, at that time, you could see all the Arab villages, and it was beautiful. And my friends had come back to the States, and they asked me if I would house it. So I said, of course. I used to love to do that. And I said, you know what, I'm going to get a whole group of people together. I'm going to make a big dinner. I'm going to make spaghetti with sauce and meatballs and invite everybody.
Mm.
And that's what I did. And it was a lot of different people from different groups. I knew a lot of people there. And my girlfriend Joanne was helping me that day. And I said to her before everybody came over, I said, you know what, Joanne, let's just pray that nothing unclean comes into the house, that God would protect us. And, you know, there's 2 people that I was a little bit leery of. But,
okay,
but they were coming. So her and I went into the living room. I'm going to tell you exactly how it happened. I was sitting on the floor, she was on the couch, and we started to pray. And all of a sudden, I asked God to put the angels at the door. And we saw them. Oh, my goodness. It was amazing. They were at each side facing each other. And they were, I would say, I'm not good in telling heights, but they were way over 6 feet. And their wings were closed. And as I'm seeing them in the spirit realm, I'm saying to myself, can you imagine if they opened their wings and they were standing there facing each other? And nobody could get in. They had to pass them. And the amazing thing is she saw them too.
Mm.
And she started to laugh. And our emotions were wild. We didn't know what to do. I didn't know. We were praising God, laughing, screaming. I had never seen anything like that. It was like seeing something with your eyes closed, dark. But yet you could see them.
Mm. Amazing. And how long did this vision last?
Oh, not that long. Not that long, but enough to impress it on me and her for the rest of our lives. I know on me, I'm talking like it happened yesterday, and it's how many years ago.
Wow, that is amazing.
And I could still see them just standing there. When I closed my eyes, I could see them facing each other. But the wings were higher, taller than their bodies, over their heads. And I thought about the seraphim in Isaiah 6:1, and I thought about, you know, it's just amazing, just what we saw.
Mm.
And nothing can come through that door that was unclean. It had to be left outside. And we had a wonderful evening of fellowship and singing and praise, and I felt at peace, you know, because you know what it's like when sometimes you're in the presence of something that is not of God, and your body's
Oh, yeah. I've walked into certain places, a building, let's say, or a shop, and, you know, I just get a chill cut through my... Absolutely. And not in a good way, either. And then you look around, you can see all sorts of occult paraphernalia.
Yeah. I mean, I've met people in many different places that just didn't even know me.
Your spirits kind of can tell.
There's a clashing in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an absolute clashing.
Well, Liz, listen, we are just about out of time, but I want to thank you so much for joining us on Divine Intervention and just sharing your amazing testimonies. If there's one thing that you'd like to leave with our audience, one thing you'd like to say to them, what would that be?
What I would like to say is, brothers and sisters, this is no walk in the park. And if you are walking in the park, you're not doing what God is calling you to do. This is a war. We're in an army. We changed sides the day we became believers. So if you're not being tested and going through trials and tribulations and people not liking you, then you're doing something wrong. We have to damage the kingdom of darkness. And the only way to do that is you have to learn spiritual warfare. You have to learn how to take the weapons that God has made available for us in the spirit realm to combat the enemy.
Hmm.
One book that I would tell you is Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. He teaches you how to look at things from the enemy's point of view. You know, when I was in the Army, I asked the lieutenant colonel, why don't you just go over and get Saddam? And he said, we could have got him a long time ago. He said... But it just changes people. The philosophy is the same.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that I asked him, what's the most important thing in an army? And he said, to obtain information on your enemy. I would
tell
every brother and sister, know your enemy. Get to know how he creates the temptations for you. Watch for him. Watch what you see on TV. Watch images that you take in your eyes, in your ears. Stay holy unto God. Stay very close to the Lord. These are going to be bad days coming for us and for the entire world. Stay close to the Lord. Don't walk in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Throw yourself completely into the mercy and grace of God.
Amen.
And that's where you're going to be safe, and that's where you'll be effective to cause some damage to the kingdom of darkness.
All right. Thank you so much. Some sage advice from Liz Alberti, once again, our special guest. Thank you so much, Liz, for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time out.
You're very welcome, Daniel.
All right, friends, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention Radio. Once again, I am your host, Daniel Fazina. Check out our archives at divineinterventionradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Daniel Fazina1 on Twitter. And, of course, you can also check out our Facebook page and like us there and get all the updates about what's going on with Divine Intervention. Facebook.com/Divine Intervention Radio. I hope this episode has been helpful to you and has encouraged you to know that God is real and still working in the world today. God willing, we'll see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to Divine Intervention with your host, Daniel Fazina. You can email Daniel at divineintervention@mail.com. That's divineintervention@mail.com. All programs of Divine Intervention are available online at divineinterventionradio.com. That's divineinterventionradio.com. Join us next time here on Divine Intervention.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope it has inspired you. More information about the show, free downloads, and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com. Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124.